It's time for our monthly Encourage Community Foundation update. They're located at 478 East Grand Avenue in downtown Wisconsin Rapids, right across from Hotel Mead. Their phone number to reach is 715-423-3863. But tonight, or today I should mention, we want to talk about what was a very special event last night here in Wisconsin Rapids, because we got to see what we've all been dreaming about for the old Tribune building, for the few unfamiliar, this radio station, WFHR, which means William F. Huffman Radio, originally was located in that building. And yours truly got a start in radio in a small little studio and office in the lower section looking out toward the back parking lot. And I met my bride-to-be, who was working on the other side of the building. So it's kind of a near and dear topic to me, but we have some important people here. From Encourage, we have Chelsea Mazurek, who's been the project manager from their end of this. And then we have Bobby Hill and Stephen Bingler from Concordia in New Orleans. And we're going to talk about this. And if you missed last night, we're going to try and fill you in, but then encourage you to, pun intended, by the way, to stay engaged and involved. But good morning, gang.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Okay. It was a wonderful evening last night, a wonderful turnout, a lot of people and talking, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. And I met folks from all different stages of life, retired folks. I met some engineering people. I saw an architect. I saw, general citizens, just people who were just saying, wow, this is something to get excited about.
You got it, Carl. And I think, this has been ongoing now. The Tribune Building Project has been ongoing since October of 2013. So we're just almost hitting a year and a half now of work that residents have done to lead us to where we are today. And the intent of last night's event was really to celebrate all of that and to allow the community to be excited and proud of their accomplishments and where we've landed and the work that we have yet ahead.
Bobby, your impressions. You've been on board this for quite some time, and your company's done other projects like this. Your impressions of our area and its involvement with this project?
Well, as I conveyed last night to everybody, this is a very exceptional place. We have done work like this in a lot of communities, and we have been successful in engaging communities, but the level at which this community has participated and is committed to ongoing participation and sort of looking at how this city continues to grow and evolve and have it be led by residents is something that's really unprecedented. There's a real commitment to a longer term and really a change of how things happen and how business takes place and how development takes place in a community. So, and another thing is that, so many people came up last night, and I feel like we have all of these new friends, these new community members, and people were coming up and saying, I made every meeting but one, or I was here for every meeting, and their real ownership of this and a real commitment to staying involved and seeing it as something that belongs to them, but not just to them personally, but something we said in the beginning is moving from me to we. And I think that has been illustrated in spades as this work moves forward.
I think this has also been a catalyst for other things that are going on in other aspects of this whole region. We just had the Village of Bearin president here. And we were talking about, trail development and things going on there, and there's citizen engagement. And the mayor of Berwick has made citizen engagement a major aspect of his administration to encourage the citizens to take ownership of your hometown. This project has, in many ways, become a catalyst for that, because people can see, hey, we can do this.
Right. It's great to see across the country that engagement, citizen engagement, is something that municipalities and organizations are committed to doing, and I think with all good intentions. But to have something happen in a really authentic way and in a way that you're not just asking the community, well, we have an idea and this is what we want to do, what do you think? It's really about the community being at the table doing the design work, doing the thinking, doing the creativity, and being part of actually doing the work, so that in doing that work, they're saying, this is what we want it to be, and not just, I approve. Mm-hmm. So I think that is another reason why what's happening here is different than what's happening in lots of other places.
And that leads into a nice segue into Stephen and your reveal yesterday. And I loved your analogy last night. It's kind of like waiting to see a newborn.
Yes.
And last night, everybody, you could have cut a knife. You could have cut the air with a knife, but because of the excitement in the air, when waiting to see what that picture was going to be, and when it was flashed on the screen, here's what you came up with. This is what you told us that you were interested in. There were people around me on all sides. There was an audible gasp. There was a yeah, and people started applauding. Mm-hmm. What was your what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction was actually very exciting because architects, I am an architect, and our responsibility is oftentimes to come up with a design for a building, and we just go in the back room and we come up with whatever we can come up with. But in this case, it's very different. In this case, I think we were sort of helping to facilitate the design process, but the design actually came from the community. And that's the analogy of this newborn, is that this newborn has lots of mothers and fathers. It's not the architect is the person who's designing the building. The architect is sort of, in some ways, I'm more like the midwife in a way. You know, I'm helping to deliver the baby, but the baby was created through this process of all these all the citizen engagement. And I think people have been very generous with their creativity. They've come up with a lot of ideas and strong ideas. I remember at one meeting when we presented three options about the south side of the building that faces the river, because as you remember, right, having been there, there's not a lot of views of the river in from that building.
No.
And Helen said last night too, it's like she spent a whole lot of time with her back to the river.
Right.
And of course, in the middle of this meeting with 150 or 200 people, we presented there are three different options. You know, you could leave it the way it is, or you could make punch some bigger openings in it, or you could just take the whole back off of it, you know, and turn it into glass. And I was really shocked that the community came up with the list. We want to turn it into glass.
Yeah.
We want the whole river to be in our view. And so our job was to go back and figure out how to make it glass. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was great that we weren't there to make the decision about what it should be. We were there to help implement the community's vision.
Briefly, give a description of the building. And Chelsea, where can folks, if they weren't able to, and where can they view these drawings?
I was just going to share an exciting release, actually, following our radio show today. These drawings, or these new renderings, four images, will be on our Facebook page immediately, and then we'll go on to our website in the coming days as well.
Okay, so there you go.
So visit Encourage Community Foundation on Facebook.
Okay, so give us the general idea of the design, what you have created with our help.
All right, sure. From the very beginning, it was a given that there was. I remember when we first walked up on the roof of that cylinder. The building really has two different parts. There's one part that's kind of a round shape, a cylinder, and the other part is this rectangular shape, which is like a box. And so they sit next to each other. But I remember when we first walked up on that roof of that cylindrical building, everybody said, oh my gosh, we've got to be able to get up to this roof and have be able to look out over the city and over the river. You know, how do we do that? Can we do that? And so that was from the very beginning one of the key features of the design. It was destined to be a key feature of the design. As the design moved forward, rather than just having a deck outside because of the weather, the inclement weather here, more people and said, well, is there a place that we could actually have to be out of the weather there as well? So now there's a kind of another cylinder that's in the top that's enclosed in glass and will be heated and cooled in the summer, but heated in the winter. And so there will be essentially all 12 months of the year people can go up there and have a beer that's going to be made in on premises with a brew house that will be located in the building, and a brew pub cafe located on the first floor that spills out onto the river during the warmer months. There will be an art studio and a maker space and a number of other things. I guess if somebody goes on the website, you can see all the things that really the community came up with. Mm-hmm. That's another important part of this process, was that it was the community that programmed this facility.
What was your reactions to the public's input, their ideas, their creativity?
Well, what I would say, one of the things to note about the process of their participating in the design was, in the beginning, people were a little hesitant.
Sure, that's
you know, and a little more from a we can't do that, or that's probably not likely. To now, just learning about the process, trusting in themselves, feeling a level of confidence that yes, this can be a reality, and so then coming up with some really grand and bold ideas. You know, as Stephen mentioned, you know, we were all betting in our office that when they discussed, you know, to the degree to which they would open up that building, that they'd all pick the middle one at best, you know, but instead they went for the whole ball of wax of really opening it up. The other thing I think, you know, is that people have been thinking about all of it, you know. So as you come around to the entrance where what we're calling the plaza is, where people can drive up and drop people off, and now that becomes, instead of this, you know, asphalt parking lot that's no man's land, it really becomes this fantastic outdoor space with opportunities for performances and just hanging out space, and that side of the building spilling open into that area, you know. So I've just seen the community grow, and which just goes to show you that given an opportunity, people are plenty smart enough to learn and plenty smart enough to be able to contribute.
And Chelsea, that was the whole intention of encouraging to, and when you got the folks from Concordia here, mm-hmm. and was to help facilitate a process that would get people the courage, give them the courage to step outside their comfort zone.
You got it, exactly. You know, and that's why Concordia, with the expertise that they bring in a design process, to be able to facilitate, bring together community, and it's all community-focused, resident-led, resident-centered. That was the principle from the very beginning. We bought that building with the intent that residents would truly decide what it was going to become. Because without, you know, we could have designed that building and put something really nice in it, but without the resident cohesiveness and agreement to come to where we are today, that is what is going to make this building sustainable and successful long-term.
Well, it's going to become an attraction. It's going to become
a destination, truly.
People, visitors will want to come, and we got to go see that building in downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
You know, this is a national story as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe
talk about that.
Maybe people here don't know that, but I will tell you, you know, just from some of the places that we travel and the circles and the conversations that we have from national organizations and foundations, everybody is paying attention to what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Kelsey and I were talking on the way here about that, you know, foundations make lots of contributions all over the place, and it's not very often that their contributions are hugely successful because they're risk takers where others might not be. But in this case, everybody's paying attention to what's happening here because so much good work, such honest work, so much broad thinking about building community is happening here. So this is a big national story.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break on that point, and then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. We got more things to talk about, and including another meeting, the next meeting The process continues. Mark this on your calendar right now, January 27th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. We'll be talking more about it. We're getting our Encourage Community Foundation update, and we're highlighting the Tribune Building Project. Chelsea Mazurek from Encourage, the Tribune Building Project Manager on their end, is here. Bobby Hill and Stephen Bingler from Concordia are here. They're partners in the Tribune Building Project, and they were kind of the facilitators that got you people thinking. Big thoughts, and you came away with some really big thoughts. We've talked about process and what the vision and what's going on. But first off, this is no longer, we're in the activity stage because you got contractors now.
Yeah, we do. Concordia. No, right.
Actually.
No. Concordia is starting to assemble a team of professionals that can really help move this work forward. So the first step is actually engineers. So we have an engineering team now that come on board, and our commitment has always been to local. That's a commitment from both Encourage and Concordia. So we have hired three firms, actually, to comprise the engineering team. One is IBC Engineering. They are out of Waukesha, Wisconsin, and they will be the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers. Then we have Jewell Associates Engineers, who are right here in Wisconsin Rapids, will be the structural engineers. And finally, Quest Civil Engineers, out of also Wisconsin Rapids, will be our civil engineers. And so they are really starting the work that will then move us forward to construction, which is slated for summer of 2015.
Okay.
So a next step then will be to bring on the contractor. So that's something that we're beginning to work on. But one of the things I want to point out about building this team is that there's been a commitment from the get-go to make sure that everybody that's selected to be part of this project is really approaching it from the values of inclusion, equity, and opportunity, the values that drive Encourage. And so we want people who really are committed to that, who are going to be part of the team, to really work together as a team and create the best project possible.
And from the few people I overheard at the during our social time last night, they're very excited about this whole process.
Yeah, and honoring the resident input. That's been, you know, the energy that's been put in already.
And then let's talk about advisors. Mm-hmm. We have you've got some important local business folks who are going to be your advisors in setting up the dream of the brew pub, eatery type of operation that we're looking at.
You got it. So we're hitting some critical advising points now with the design that Concordia is doing on the interior. And what that means is we're going to need some feedback from experts. So those who have expertise in this field have joined our team as well as project advisors. So we have Amy and Ryan Scheid of Great Expectations and the Eatery here in Rapids that are advising us on the cafe and culinary kitchen spaces, so helping us to design that space, as well as Mark Butera, who is the owner, operator, and founder of Oso Brewing Company in Plover. He has joined on to help us design the microbrewery space and has brought on his expertise and knowledge, and it's been invaluable, let me tell you.
And folks, last night when he talked, he mentioned his dream is to get all you garage beer makers out. He wants to incubate. He wants to help create new brewers. He pointed out the industry needs people. And so he looks at this as his way of giving back and creating a future for their industry.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that goes to both an educational and an economic component of this,
this
building. You got it. Not only in the brewery, you know, thinking about that as an incubator space. So how can we bring in home brewers to learn the system of brewing beer, but then be able to spin out and go into a different brewery? Mark tells us all the time, brewers in this region are looking for that sort of talent and are hungry to be able to have a space that will be in the Tribune Building space. Same with the culinary kitchen. You know, you know of folks that are making salsas or making, you know, breads and things like that. Let's bring them all in and have a space where they can, you know, cook that fantastic item and then be able to sell it. You know, is there a branding opportunity for this region? I mean, everything just begins to explode. Same with the makerspace, the creative workshop.
It's amazing. And that's, you know, companies, the economic spinoff of this, Stephen, could be immense. And because you start, you know, I'll give you an example. Renaissance Learning started in a garage in Port Edwards.
Yep.
There you go. A mom who was concerned about her child's ability to read and what could be done to enhance that, and we've seen what's happened.
Apple computers started in a garage in California.
Yeah.
Amazing things can happen. And I think that's the most important thing about this project. It's not a building, right? I mean, the building is a manifestation, and it's easy for everybody to get excited about a building's going to get renovated. To me, the most important thing about this is not what happens on the outside, but what happens on the inside. And those are the programs that the community came up with from the get-go. You know, those are the ideas. What are the opportunities for growth and development in this community, and how can we incubate those ideas in this project? I think that's going to be, at the end of the day, that's going to be the largest outcome.
And the mayor is looking at this as something to kind of continue the rebirth of the downtown, to help to facilitate or enhance the ability to remodel the downtown or remold it or some, you know, make it a place of gathering.
As this is built and becomes even more beautiful, and these business opportunities begin to happen, then you think about how that will attract other businesses or other owners to other vacant properties downtown. It will happen. You know, I mean, this will be hopefully that catalyst that then attracts other folks.
Which leads us to Tuesday, January 27th. Why I wanted you to mark that on your calendar. Connect, engage, ignite. The process continues. 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Centralia Center in Wisconsin Rapids. RSVP at TribuneBuilding.org or call 715-423-3863. I'm expecting a script from you guys for the PSAs I'll be recording for.
Wonderful. Happy to do that for you, Carl.
But let's talk about what that meeting is about. It's to continue this discussion and go beyond the Tribune Project.
Exactly. At our September meeting, folks, and it's on our website, TribuneBuilding.org, there's an interest card where people can select, you know, different areas that they're interested in within the building, but then also thinking about things like downtown development as a whole. You know, how is this going to spread out, similar to the mayor's vision? How will this spread out in the downtown area? So January 27th, we want everybody and anybody, whether you've been to a Tribune Building meeting thus far or not, this is your chance to engage in something much bigger. You know, now rolling into phase three, we're kind of calling it. We've done phase one of idea sharing. We've done phase two of design, and now we're really moving into this phase three engagement.
Well, what's from Concordia's perspective, how does this continue to grow?
Well, I think the thing that we're seeing is that the capacity here for doing this kind of work on many levels has grown exponentially. So I think that there's a level of skill in terms of facilitating, in terms of helping people come and do real work at a table and build those relationships. And so, you know, this is, we really see ourselves as, if we've done a really good job, we've worked ourselves out of a job on the facilitation end. So we're going to continue to be involved a little bit just in terms of advising and helping the team continue to structure good table activities and meeting agendas for a little bit and those kinds of things. But you know, this community gets it. This community knows how to do it. And there's an expectation, I think, of people who participate to have a pretty high bar of what it means to come and participate. And
I look at it, too, from a cultural standpoint. In an era where we're hearing about divisiveness and people can't get to work or government's not functioning or whatever, in this process, you have to be willing to listen as well as give. And you have to be respectful of the other people at the table. And you have to be willing to compromise, maybe, or to collaborate, and it's a maturing process.
Absolutely.
And it takes some guts to do it, because it challenges your you might come in with some preconceptions, and all of a sudden they're blown away.
Yeah. And we saw that happen. I mean, you know, that's the growth that we've seen in community members really understand that and mature into understanding how to really be the kind of citizen we wish more and more people would.
And yeah. I think it's important to say this is government. Mm-hmm. Of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I think that is where we really lead to a community that works well for all people, which is encourages vision. And that's truly, at the end of the day, I think, mm-hmm. what we're finding. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think it's very liberating for the populace to take part in this and see this coming together and realizing we can do this.
Yes.
We
yes.
can do this.
We are doing it.
We are doing
yeah.
it. Yeah. We
yeah.
are doing it.
And this gets back to that whole story. You know, other communities really need to believe that they can do this too. They need to see that it can be successful, and that this is happening in a rural community is all the more reason why other people can have hope that, yeah, maybe we can do this too, you know? So I'm very excited.
That's why I encourage as a model. It's mm-hmm. going to be a model for many, many communities across the country who need and want to learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an exciting time, and folks, the eyes of the nation are on us, as you heard, and hey, let's show them how we do things here in Wisconsin Rapids. We want to thank Chelsea Mazurek from Encourage and Bobby Hill and Stephen Bingler from Concordia for being a part of the Morning Magazine.